In our previous year, we spoke about King Yoash, the tragic story about a boy, the only one saved from the entire Malchus Beis David, raised in the Kodesh HaKadoshim by his uncle Yoyada, the Kohen Gadol. But unfortunately, Besoyv Yomov, he goes off from the path of Hashem. He's assassinated. And right before he does that, he actually does something I didn't mention, which brings out how low he fell, was that Yoyada's son, which is his cousin, the one that his father saved him, he became the Kohen Gadol, and also like a Novi, and he started telling his cousin, hello, and he told the people, Chevra, you got to wake up. You can't just sin like this. You guys got to get with the program. And the king sent a group of people, and they killed this Novi Zachariah. So in other words, this son of the person that actually rescued him, he gives the orders to kill. When he passed away, we mentioned, this is where we finished off, that his son Amatsyahu took over. So let's talk, today we're going to focus on King Amatsyahu, the eighth king from Malchus Beis David. Amatsyahu follows a similar trajectory than like his father. Meaning he also starts off very, very good and loyal. We mentioned that his father was assassinated. So he wasn't very happy about that, obviously. And he gives the orders to kill the assassins, those that killed his father. Now, the way kings used to operate then was if somebody rebelled, not only did they kill a person, they would kill their family as well. That was another incentive not to rebel against the king. Because if you rebelled, they would kill their children. And Einoklach, people didn't want that to happen. But he showed restraint, and he said, the Torah tells us that kids should not die for the sins of their fathers. And he did not kill the children of those that killed his father. And the Abishter very much respected that he showed that restraint, that he did not. And the Abishter was very proud of him. And he got the message that it's now time to strengthen Malchus Yehuda. And the way he was going to do that is by recapturing Edom. Now, if you remember, Edom had declared independence, and now he wants to get them back. And he did something which was never done before. And that is that he hired what they called mercenaries. Mercenaries in English is most kingdoms have an army. But what if you don't have enough soldiers? So you'll hire like an army from a different country that they'll fight for you. They're like, they don't really care about you. They're paid mercenaries. They're paid guns. Now, obviously, they have less of a loyalty. They're loyal to the money. They're not loyal to the people. And what happened was, who did he hire? He took thousands of soldiers from Malchus Yisrael. At that point, there was no war. And he gave them 100 kikar, which is a riboy amount of money. And he hired them to fight with him. Okay. As they were going to war, a Navi came to him. The Navi, they don't tell us who that Navi was. But they gave him, he had this 100,000 extra soldiers from Malchus Yisrael, which he promised 100 silver bricks of gold. And of silver. And the Navi said, no, the Eibishter wants you to fight with your soldiers, not with hired soldiers. That's not the way this war is going to be won. The Eibishter doesn't need a certain amount of people. He wants you to win. He can make you win with, you know, less soldiers as well. But he said, I don't mind sending them out, but I already paid them. What's going to be with all this money? They're not going to want to give back the money. It's not right. I hired them. And he said, don't worry, let them keep their money, because what you're going to gain from this war is going to be so much more. Don't worry about this 100 kikar. So you lost it. Consider it a present to Malchus Yisrael. And what happened was the soldiers, it's interesting, they took the money, but they were upset. Certain soldiers, they want to fight. At the end of the day, they're trained soldiers. So they actually looted some towns of Malchus Yehuda on their way out. You know, they were angry, they vented, they rioted a little bit, but they went home. And sure enough, they won a fantastic war. And Pashit, they got what the Pasuk says, Vayavoyu, Vayavoyzu Bizor Rabba. They got so much spoils. It means a lot of money. They came back with a riboy guilt. Now here's where unfortunate part of the story. It's hard to understand. I'm telling you this up front. We don't have the taiva for Avodah Zarah. But what happens next, it's hard to believe. He basically he destroys Edom and he takes a lot of, you know, things back home, including their Avodah Zarah. Instead of saying, hey, their Avodah Zarah is worthless, it didn't help them in the war, he starts serving the Avodah Zarah of the Goyim. So this wonderful king who has the Eibishter protecting him, he starts getting a little bit gaivadik and he starts going off the path and serving these Avodah Zarah. And again, a Navi comes to him and says, what are you doing? Hello? Didn't you just win a war? And he starts getting very chutzpahdik. He says, Haliyoyitz lamelech nisanucha. Who appointed you to be my advisor? Who are you to talk? Get out of here. So the Navi left, but now he gets punished. Because what happens is, you have to understand that, again, these people were cousins with the old Malchus Yisrael from Achav's family. But Achav's family was destroyed, taken over by his general Yehu, as I mentioned earlier. So there's still some animosity, obviously, between Malchus Yehuda now, who are still cousins of Achav, and basically he decides he's going to fight a head-on war with Malchus Yisrael. Malchus Beis David against Malchus Yisrael. And he sends a message to the king, Lecha Nisro Eponim. Now when I read the Navi, I thought it meant, I want to meet you. No, the Mepharshim explained, I want to have a real war with you, not hiding behind trees, no skirmishes. My men against your men, like men, let's fight like men. Now the king of Malchus Yisrael basically tells him like this. He says a very famous mashal. He says, one day, sends him back a message. There was a thorn bush that sent a message to a cedar tree. And he told them, let's make a shidduch together. And the cedar tree said, goodbye. The cedar tree is way up there. The thorn bush is way down here. And a bunch of animals just ate up the thorn bush. That was the message he sent back. Basically saying, you're a lowlife. I'm the cedar tree. I was appointed by the Eibishter. You are serving your Avodah Zarah. You're a waste of time. You're a big Balgaiva. You think that because you won Edoim, so now you're going to fight with me? It's not going to happen. I advise you, he tells him, you stay home. Just stay home. I'm not fighting with you. You stay home. You don't want to come to my territory. Unfortunately, his Gaiva takes him over and he goes on a head-on war, Malchus Beis David against Malchus Yisrael, which is unfortunately Jews and Jews. This is a terrible thing. And it goes very bad for Amatzio. He gets captured right away by the other army. They come up and they break the walls of Yerushalayim, basically a message that we could control if we want the entire Eretz Yisrael. And they looted the treasures of the king and also the Beis HaMikdash. And the Navi says an interesting thing, that they took the Bnei HaTaruvos, the captive children. Now, when I was reading it, I didn't understand, what are these captive children? So the Mefarshim say something fascinating. That the minig of the Malachim, they would have ministers. And they would have vassal states, like countries that they conquered. How did you make sure that your ministers remained loyal? Each family of a minister, you had to give one kid to the palace of the king. He was like a royal hostage, which meant that he was treated well, he was fed and everything, but he couldn't leave. And he knew that if the minister would go against the king, they would kill his son. So they had these hostage children that they were like royal hostages. On one hand, they were treated very well. On the other hand, they were pretty much living hostages. So they captured these kids and brought them back to Yisrael. At this point, you can imagine, the people started getting very, very upset at this Amatzio. First, he left the path of the Eibishter. Then he goes and makes a civil war. Not only does that, he loses. And it's a big busha for the whole Malchus Yehuda. They basically make a coup. And they chase him out of Yerushalayim. And he goes to a city called Lachish. That's where he goes. And basically, now there's a different discussion in the Mefarshim, how many years he was in Yerushalayim, how long this rebellion took place. Did it take place at the beginning, and then they slowly, and then he ran away, or was he many years in Lachish? There's a big discussion between Rashi and the other Mefarshim, exactly how long this rebellion takes place. But at the end of the story, he's in Lachish, and they kill him. They chase him down and they kill him, but they give him the respect that they do bury him. They bring him back and they bury him, Be'ir Yehuda, basically with all the other Malachim. Now, he had a son. His son's name was Uziyahu. Now, Uziyahu depends on how you understand the story. Either he was basically king even before his father, when his father was in exile, he pretty much was the king. He just waited for his father to pass away to be proclaimed king, but he was acting king before. Or, no, his father was pretty much the king and he was just waiting. But Uziyahu, unlike his father and his Zayda, at that point the people actually liked him. They even though they didn't like the father and they ended up revolting against the father and the grandfather, Uziyahu was a young bocher, he was 16 at the time, the people actually liked, and he becomes the next king, and he becomes king for 52 years. More about Emir Tashem Uziyahu in the coming year.